AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0. Money 2.0. Now, helping you excel in business and in life, here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Communications and Digital Media. Thank you for tuning in to today's radio show. We appreciate your listenership. We usually give you a hand clap right there. We are broadcasting live from Silicon Valley Bay Area and around the world on AM 1220 KDOW iHeartRadio and our online streaming where you can always listen live. If you want to dial into today's radio show, you can dial in at 1-800-516-1220. That is 1-800-516-1220 and get your questions and comments on air with me today. Of course, if you want to connect with me directly, you can do that by emailing me at onthedge@businessontheedge.biz or call 1-888-MySBC30. So welcome in. Can you believe that we are more than halfway through the year? Where has the time gone? And we're getting this super exciting, I'm just kidding, weather all over the country. This heat is just ridiculous. Oh my gosh. So hopefully we can keep you cool during the show today and talk to you about some things that's coming up a lot during my day-to-day work working with these small businesses. And I thought, well, you know, I'll circle back around and talk about let's just say the best strategies to put together your business roadmap, if you will, business planning, and how I move clients through their early stage business to really getting them out in the market, getting their MVP out there, their minimum viable product. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. If you are a professional, I really want to talk to those who are still in their day job. If you are in your day job and you are thinking about starting a business, I am going to go through probably four or five steps on what you can do to get ready before you are out of your day job. You can really look at trying to make a smoother transition. It's not so bumpy. If you're not saving money for that transition, start saving, tucking some money away, give yourself some time. So we're gonna talk about that today. So let's get into it. So when you're thinking about starting a business, and we typically in the SBDC world, Small Business Development Center world, we call you a pre-venture, that you are not in business, but you are ready to get serious about starting your own business. Maybe you're in your workplace and you're not going up that corporate ladder like you want, or we're seeing a lot of professional women in the workplace leaving their C-level jobs to start their own businesses for multiple reasons. They want to be more flexible with home and raising children, and or the biggie is that they're not moving up the corporate ladder because they happen to be a woman. Let's just be honest that we still have those challenges, that or the pay is not equitable to a male in that position. And so there's a lot of reasons. And so there's some disgruntledness in corporate America still where women are concerned about their future. And so they're saying, hey, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to make a pathway out, give myself flexibility. I'm not working so many demanding hours. I'm missing my kids growing up or whatever the case may be. Or maybe you're in a different situation and you just want to have control over your time, or you want to build a future that allows you to grow an idea. Like Sam Walton, before he started Walmart, he worked for a similar company, right? A store like a Ben Franklin's Craft, and had some ideas, and his executives didn't think they would work, or they weren't viable enough. So he said, great, I'll go start my own business. And so we got Walmart, the largest retail store for kind of like that family shopping. Target's right behind them. And so we leave corporate America for different reasons, or we leave our day job for different reasons. You don't have to be in corporate America. You could be in some other place in the job workforce, you know, arena, but you're thinking about starting a business, and you've been thinking about it for years, and you keep saying, I need to start that business. So here's your opportunity to get a little bit more information. So the first thing that I do, number one, if you're taking mental notes, write this mental note down. If you're taking digital notes, do the same. And if you're old school like myself, from time to time, you can write it down. Number one, do an idea assessment. Assess your business. Brutally assess what you want to do in that business. And so an idea assessment gives you an opportunity to look at things like who's starting the business. So maybe there's more than one person, and it looks at your experiences and your knowledge base. Do you have any experience in that career field? So you might be a tech guy who wants to open a restaurant, but you don't have any experience working in a restaurant. So the question becomes, where are you going to get that support? And I won't get into that and how that impacts funding opportunities, but do the assessment. You're going to assess who's your users of the product. Okay, who's the decision maker, the buyer, because the buyer and the user may not be the same person. Could be, but may not be the same person. And so you want to think about that and figure out, who are your customer personas? Do you have one customer persona? Do you have three? Be clear on who that is. What I will tell you is that your customer is never everyone. Even if everyone can gain access to your retail store or walk through it, doesn't matter. Someone's going to be the decision maker and the buyer. And that's who we want to hone in on, because we want you to target who those buyers are so they can buy over and over again. So also in an idea assessment, you're going to think about, how are they using the product? How are you solving their problem? And the reason you're going through an idea assessment, you're trying to determine whether or not you have a viable idea, product or service that you want to bring to market for the public to engage, or the government, or whoever you're selling to, or corporate America, whoever those personas are. You want to think about it. You want to do a deep dive. This is, and the important part about the idea assessment is, this is the least expensive way to determine whether or not you have a viable or feasible business. Do you have resources? Do you have people resources? Do you have money resources? Can you get it off the ground? And so at different stages of going through this process, you can do something we call exit. You can exit. This is not a good idea. I didn't quit my day job. This is not going to work like I thought it was. I don't have the best chocolate chunk cookie recipe, or whatever you're selling. I like chocolate chunk cookies. And so you can go back to the drawing board and determine whether or not you can tweak to a place to have a viable product or service to bring to market. You're also going to think about how many buyers are in the market. How many buyers? I once had a client tell me that they had 15 buyers in the market. And because of the type of business they wanted to start, I said, well, if there's only 15 buyers in the market, you're never going to sustain this. So I had to help her learn how to really look at her market. Now, 15 buyers, if you're selling luxury airplanes, that's a totally different way of looking at it than is absolutely could be sustainable. But if you are a gift shop or a restaurant, 15 buyers in the market is not going to sustain you. So you want to think about that, how you're going to create sustainability in your business. And you're going to think about what are your revenue streams, what's your products, what's your services, what's your features, what's the experience, what's your core competencies, what differentiates you, radically differentiates you. That's what you want to think about. So instead of jumping out and says, I'm just going to go start a business, and unfortunately, that's how a lot of times we start or we lose our job. I got into entrepreneurship as a result of losing my job, companies transitioning. I'm going to talk more when I come back. We're going to a commercial break. You're listening to Margaret Jackson here on AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge. So relaxing coming through. Nice. I just want to just hang there for a minute. Welcome back to Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are talking about starting a business, or you're thinking about starting a business. You're in corporate America. You're a professional. You're frustrated. You've had it with your boss. Seriously, sometimes you're starting a business and the exit is not friendly. And so you're like, I'm just not going to keep doing this. I'm going to start a business. So hang in there before you quit your day job. Let's put you in a path. And I would recommend somewhere at minimum of 2 years to make your transition comfortable, a little bit more comfortable. Business, being an entrepreneur it's really hard work. It's hard work and it's commitment, it's dedication. It's expecting ebbs and flows, that everything doesn't work out nice and neatly. And so if you have 2 years and you can kind of hang in there, great. If you can give yourself a little more time, even better. So we're talking about helping you exit your day job and start your own business. So number one, if you're just tuning in, we talked about the idea assessment. I have tools for this. And if you are interested in getting a hold of my tools to help you start this process, email me at ontheedge@businessontheedge.biz and I will get you on the right track. Number two, the business model. The next thing that I take my pre-ventures through, those that are not in business, but they want to start a business, and you're saying, hey, I'm working at this organization, but I'd like to start a business. And we go through the idea assessment and then the business model. And the way that we get to the business model is that I have to approve the idea assessment, that you have a business that is viable and feasible before we get into areas that may start costing you a couple of bucks. The business model is in a word, if I were going to say it this way, equals profitability. Your business model is how you're going to be profitable. And so we'll do this one sheet. The idea assessment is also done on a one sheet. A one sheet that has 9 panels on it, and we call it a business model canvas. And so the business model canvas allows you to take some of that information that you worked so hard on in the idea assessment and translate it to the business model canvas. Why? Because it is a canvas that's going to give us a picture of how you're going to be what? Profitable. We want you to be profitable. Why go into business if you're not going to be profitable? And just so you know, and those that are thinking, but I want to do a nonprofit organization. I want to set up a nonprofit. So nonprofit is not code for not making money. Yeah, it's not code for that. Nonprofit really is a way for you to be a community or a social entrepreneur and give back to your community, and taking the revenue, the money that comes into the company, whether it's through donations or selling some items, and it's, you just sink that back into the company to keep the operations and things going. Doesn't mean that it's not profitable. It could be extremely profitable. We have some extremely wealthy nonprofits out there. So keep that in mind. So if you are have a heart for the community and you want to give back and you want to do something like that, keep that in mind. So the business model canvas. When I have them go through the business model canvas, we're talking about and thinking about and discussing those 9 panels. And if you want to see some really cool examples of a business model canvas, and I guarantee you every Fortune 1000 company has a business model canvas expressed some way, somehow, and in depth, not just on a canvas, but they have gone in depth to ensure that they are profitable, right? And so you're going to think about, on that 9-panel canvas, you're going to think about, who are your partners? Who are your key partners, not just partners? And this isn't where you write your business plan. This is not a business plan. This is a business model. It is the core of a business plan. It's the cornerstone of a business plan. The business model canvas is an articulation of how you're going to be profitable. And we can look at that and say, this is what you're going to do to be profitable. And these are live documents. So live documents, what that means is when things change that are mission critical, it's going to change your business model. Okay. Same with the business plan. If it's mission critical, it's going to change your business plan. You're going to update it. And so in that business model, you're going to look at, who are my key partners? Who are my key intermediaries? Who are my key collaborators? You want to know who those are. And they might be distributors in your supply chain somewhere, but they are key to you being profitable. So for example, if you are in the athleisure wear business and says, we're making athleisure wear with a cool logo on it and some great messaging on it, then where are you getting the crew neck sweatshirts? Where are you getting the t-shirts or socks or hoodies? You're gonna have a key distributor, supplier. They would be a key partner. So you want to, and without them, you can't be profitable, right? So the idea is that each part of the panels that you go through is about what are you doing, or what are those resources that will continue to allow you to be profitable. So you have key partners, you have key resources, you have key you have key activities that you're going to do. You have your unique value proposition, or your value proposition. What's your value proposition? That's about the customer. And it could be, like in Uber's case, it's going to be about the customers and the drivers, or Airbnb, it's going to be about the hosts and the guests, because there's a value for everyone participating that they want to showcase so they can be what? Profitable. So then you're going to look at how are you going to maintain your relationship with new customers and the customers that you have. You know, a lot of small businesses that are in business are like, I've got to get more customers, especially when they're new. But it's not just getting the customers. It's all of the experiences that customer is going to have with your organization to maintain them as a customer. They could peel off and defect because they're like, this is not a great experience, I'm leaving. So if you're in the workplace and you want to start your business, these are the things that I'm going to talk to you about: your business model, your customer personas, your revenue streams, your overarching key expenses and resources. That's a business model. I've got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go to our next step. You're listening to Margaret Jackson on Business on the Edge on AM 1220 KDOW. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Welcome back this afternoon. I hope you're enjoying a great lunch. You're listening to Margaret Jackson here on AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge. I am talking to you out there who are thinking about starting a business. You're still in your day job, and maybe you work for a corporation or university in the educational field or medical field, whatever, technology, restaurant, nonprofit, whatever the case may be. And you're thinking about, I've been thinking about starting a business and I really don't know where to get started. This is where you're going to get started. These are the steps that you're going to take. And the first step is not quitting your job. Don't quit your job. So we're going to go to my next step that I take my clients through. Number one, idea assessment if you're just tuning in. Number two, doing your business model canvas. Number three, the financial model. These first three pieces are the asset tests. These are the asset tests. This is really before you really start investing money that you don't want to lose and spend. And so the idea assessment allows you to really take a close look at what you're doing and whether or not that's a viable business, a feasible business. The business model, how you're going to be profitable. Now the financial model is a way for us to look at we're going to look at things like your startup costs. What's everything you need to spend before you open your doors, or before you, like one of my cool friends in the industry who says, before you make your first dollar, Paul Basel would tell you like that, a finance instructor for one of the colleges in the Silicon Valley Bay Area. I believe the Sacramento area, and a great trainer on finance. And so the financial model allows us to look at things, to look at what your business could be. And now what's important about the financial model is making sure that your numbers are realistic. I can do a financial model and make it look like a $1 billion company. Is that realistic? It's not realistic. Be brutally honest with yourself in these steps, because it's going to give you the right information. So if something is wrong and it can't be done, or it can't be done that way, this is where you want to fix it. And you're always going to be fixing something and improving and adjusting in your business. But This is the path you want to go to make sure that you have a sound foundation. You have a sound infrastructure as you go into taking these very serious steps to be a entrepreneur. And so the financial model also is going to look at your expenses. What are your expenses? That includes paying yourself. What is payroll? So maybe you're making a high six-figure income, and on your financial model, you may not be able to put that high six-figure income, but you could put something that would make sense on starting a new business, right? And so there's some pros and cons in starting your business. And then we'll take out things like your benefits and, you know, the rent or the space that you might use. If you're a service industry, what's great about service industries is that the overhead is really low. So that's fantastic. If you are manufacturing something, you're going to have higher expenses, right? You're going to have higher expenses. You're going to have COGS, cost of goods sold. So I've got this three-panel financial model that will allow us to see all of this. So you can be successful. I got to go to a commercial break. I'll talk a little bit more about the financial model in our next segment. Hang in there. You're listening to Margaret Jackson here on Business on the Edge. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader.
Get ready. Business on the Edge is taking you out of the studio walls with the Small Business Concierge magazine. You've been waiting, looking for it. Now it's here. Business expert contributors, small business concierge, STEAM, local events, YE 2.0, the young entrepreneur, women in business centerfold, small business science lab, bridging the gap, the bottom line. Now here's Silicon Valley's number one business radio personality, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into the Small Business Concierge segment of the show. So cool. My favorite segment. We are doing some wildly fantastic things for small businesses. I love it. I love it. In fact, I've got this great message on my text from one of my clients who sometimes entrepreneurs just want to throw up their hands. They're tired. And they're moving their companies forward. And this is a wonderful business that's been in business for many, many years. And when you have, here's one of them. I'm just going to give you this little tip and I'll get back into my spiel, my training for those who want to start businesses. I don't want you to have rose-colored glasses when you're starting a business. You don't need rose-colored glasses on. You need clear glasses on. You need to be able to see. You see brand new windows. You know, you build a new building or a house and you clean those windows off and they look fantastic and birds run into them because they're so clear. You can see cleanly through them. You need to be that clear that those are the kind of glasses you need. So clear so you're not running into things. Rose-colored glasses, you'll run into some things. And so I enjoy the text messages and the emails that I get from small businesses that share their experience that I try to give them. I'm not a unicorn. I don't know it all. But you can bet your bottom dollar that Coach Margaret Jackson is going to fight to the nth degree to help you get from different levels of your business. If there is a way and it's reasonable and the opportunities are there, sometimes we just have to keep turning over stones, turning over rocks. And so I appreciate the kind words that they send back to me when we're working. So know that there's going to be ebbs and flows in business. You're going to need funding. You're going to need financing. And since the pandemic, even though banks are lending, it is a slow road to get to those resources. And so we have to keep climbing those ladders to try to get small businesses funded. It's hard for women in business to get funded still. minorities in business to get funded still. And so we want to try to mitigate it being difficult, too difficult. And so I try to make sure that my clients are ready, fundable, bankable, all of that good stuff. So back to, if you're starting a business and you're thinking about starting a business and you are still in your day job, I don't care what you're doing, whether you're maintenance or you're in some C-suite position, this is where you want to be. This is what you want to do. So the financial model, I left off on the financial model. So the financial model, we're going to look at the expenses. We're going to look at the COGS, if you have COGS. We're going to look at your revenue. And so your expenses are not your startup costs. So for example, your startup costs would be, hey, I've got to get this building and I need first and last month's rent, or I need to buy the building, I need to purchase it, whatever it is, your initial investments. After that, on the expense page, we're going to put that monthly mortgage or rent, whatever that may be. So we don't want to mix up startup costs and your expenses. And then on that revenue tab, we're going to look at, and this particular spreadsheet that I use is so simplistic, it makes it really easy to just plug in the numbers and look at them. And when you get to revenue, since you've never been in business, you're like, how do I project that? What do we look at? And so there's research involved in really seeing what's going on in your industry and how you're going to wedge in and how much of that industry can you garner. And so that takes a little bit of doing. And so all of this is going to show us your taxes, things that you're not thinking about. Maybe there's some traveling expenses. Those are the things that we're going to look at to see whether or not you can create a profitable business. And just because you have a financial model doesn't mean that you can go out and you're going to just start making this money. It takes ramp up time. It takes time for people to get to know your business, to develop your brand, you know, awareness to the public. And so that may take a year, may take 18 months. What are you going to do between that time and ramping up and getting people sold on buying your product and service? That's when we talk about getting working capital and resources to keep cash on hand so that you can payroll and do all of that good stuff. So the financial model. So once the financial model is done, guess what? And you've heard me talk about this for years, is business planning. Business plans, and there's different types of business plans, but you want to do a business plan. Your business plan is the expansion of your business model, the unfolding, if you will, of the roadmap. And so these are the things that we're going to do. This is our mission. This is our vision. These are our keys to success. These are the objectives that we want to achieve over the next 2 to 3 years. Right now, even with doing an income statement, because you're going to put financials and you're going to go to a deeper dive in your financials, income statements, I still don't go really, I'm not a real fan of going to 5 years just because we're still coming out the pandemic emergency and supply chains are still a little wonky. I like 3 years, and that's even iffy, but I like it better, of 3 years of income statement projections. So we're going to do all of that in that business plan if you're doing something more traditional, if you will. But say you want to get started. So if I've got a client that they have a product that we can really get to market fast, and we can look at their minimum viable product. The minimum viable product is where we can get it out to market, get those early adopters and see how things are going. Then I may consider and recommend a one-page business plan. Now, just before you get all excited about not doing a traditional plan or something more robust or a lean plan, that may be about 15 pages or so. You don't need a 50-page plan. Starting out, you have nothing, there's nothing to share in 50 pages or 30 pages necessarily. So Well, absolutely not. You shouldn't have a 50-page plan starting out. But 15 pages, that might be acceptable. Something more leaner for you. So you want to be able to have all of this culminate and come together, and we can probably get you to market with the one-page plan. I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go into our next segment. You're listening to Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
For more information on the Small Business Concierge magazine or to invite Margaret Jackson to speak, go to smallbusinessconcierge.biz. That's smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. You're listening to Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are at the bottom of our hour, and we are talking to those employees that are ready to leave their day job for whatever reason. If you are disgruntled and you're like, I just got to get out, great. Here's your way out. Here's a clean cut way out. I'm going to give you a plan, something to look forward to, something to hope for, to put fire back in your bones. Take the next 2 years and start preparing. Don't quit your day job. Leverage it. You know, they have this quietly quitting, right? I don't love that at all. But you know what's funny about that? Now we've got bosses that are quietly quitting their employees. So I don't like quietly quitting. But if you're going to exit your company, it's kind of like retiring. You prepare. You prepare to be a business owner. It is really much more difficult when you are forced into that place. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. My company that I was working for laid several of us off, and there I was starting my business. If I had to do all over again, I would have been preparing the previous 2 years to move forward with that idea. So, like I said, you've got your idea assessment. If you're just tuning in, these are the steps that I recommend that you go through: idea assessment, business model, canvassing, financial model development, business plan. And if we can get you to market sooner, because you have something that's just so fantastic, and we can get you wedged into the market and going and making some income, then I would recommend the one-page business plan by bplan.com. You can go out there and download it, actually. I think it's the best template that I've seen yet. I'm not a big fan of the one-page business plan. That is not the finish line. That's what I was saying in my last segment. It's not the finish line. It is a start. And then number five, you need a support system. Don't go it alone. And when I say support system, I'm not saying go try to hire a bunch of people. I'm saying a support system that allows you to take the time that you need to get through your stages of small business development, building the business, you know, getting it into its existing stage. So Harvard Business Review talks about an old article from the 80s says, hey, there are five stages of business development, and we want you to be successful in it. And the most critical stages is really the first three, which is existing. I started my business. I got my business license. I set up with the state of California. I fulfilled my requirements with the county. I fulfilled my requirements with the city. And I've got my business tax license. I fulfilled my responsibility to getting my EIN number with the federal government. I did all of the proper paperwork. And you might need some sort of, if you are a contractor, you're going to have some other requirements. If you are a therapist, you're going to have other requirements. And so you want to make sure, and I've got some great tools to help you figure out exactly what you need when you start a business. So you can email me at ontheedge@businessontheedge.biz, and I can help you with those resources. If you are serious about starting your business and going through that process, I would love for you to check out our website, smallbusinessconcierge.biz. And we have a couple of plans out there that are so ridiculously affordable, the Small Business Growth Plan. And this will help you go on that road of small business development. To get access to every single thing that I talked about today, but in a support community system that will help you start, grow, build. We really want you to thrive in your businesses. And so if you are interested in that, go out to our website and check out our plans of small business growth. And inside that member portal, if you click on and become a member, you're going to have access to Live Plan, which is bplan.com's bplan.com Live Plan. That those resources are from Live Plan. Well, Live Plan is from Palo Alto Software. So Palo Alto Software has these really cool tools on business development. And we have a master agreement with them. Remember I talked about on your business model, who are your key collaborators and partners and intermediaries? Well, we're partnered with Live Plan, Palo Alto Software, and we give our clients a free 30-day seat inside the member portal where you have your Small Business Fitness Center and you can work on your business plan when you get to that level. So if you're interested in learning more about how we support small businesses, we just bend over backwards to try to provide resources for you. It doesn't matter where you're at in the country, you could be anywhere and we're going to help support you. Go check us out at smallbusinessconcierge.biz or email me at ontheedge@businessontheedge.biz and I will give you some resources to kickstart you. So good luck out there when you're making that shift. Don't quit your day job. I'm Margaret Jackson here on AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader.